Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. I appreciate you joining as always. Before I dive into today's guest today, which we have Lewis, the owner of Addie's in Wine and Spirits over here on Transit Road. Is this technically Williamsville or Amherst?
Williamsville. Yes.
Awesome. Well, Thanks for joining us, Lewis.
Thank you for having me. This is fantastic. I love this stuff.
Yeah, man. And I know this is going to be a good show today. But before I dive in today, I just want to let everybody know that, hey, guys, if you have not heard about our memberships yet, we are totally switching over from, instead of doing RSVPs for each event, just kind of come and go as you want. We've had so many events sell out. We've had all of our sponsorships have sell out and within minutes of them going live. We wanted to think of a new creative way to give back to our raving fans, people that have just been with us since the beginning the past couple of years, and really, again, taking care of our loyal raving fans. So we decided to come up with memberships at $20 a month or $240 for the year, and you get all your events for free, your general admission tickets. So, and you get first dibs on all of our events before they get open up to non-members, aka the public. So make sure you check it out on our website. It's live on our website. You can sign up for it, or all the information is right there. And we're having our members only for our boating event coming up on September 7th or 8th. I can't remember off the top of my head. We're going to be releasing that date soon. But our VIP, or AKA our members, get first dibs on the boat part of actually going on the boat for the sunset cruise. So we always want to make sure we're taking care of our members. But anyways, enough of that. Let's talk about our guest here today. So Lewis, for those that don't know who you are, what Addie's Wine and Spirits, that's quite obvious what it is, but don't know your story. How did you start? Tell us in the beginning and then go from there.
All right, how much time we have?
We have about 28 more minutes.
All right, I'll talk quick. So let's see. I come from Boston originally, lived in Rhode Island, all over. And I worked for Miller Brewing Company. And they wanted to transfer me out to Buffalo, upstate New York, to manage six distributors out here. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to Buffalo.
You know, right. Arch nemesis.
Right, exactly. Bills pass, right. But, I mean, I was in Rhode Island, you know, Newport Beach right there. It was just the most beautiful place to be. And I think that day I heard that Buffalo's getting 10 feet of snow. And I just said to myself, there's no way a place can actually get 10 feet of snow. And sure enough, they did. They got 10. I think they got more than 10 feet of snow. So make a long story short, I accepted the promotion, the transfer, and they promised me 2 years, Lewis, we'll get you back to New England. I'm like, all right, fine, giddy up, let's go. Moved out here, and didn't go so well after 4 years. We merged with the company, and the new Northeast manager never really liked me, so they got rid of me. Mm. It's probably the worst day of my life I've ever experienced, scary as hell. So I was coming back from Auburn, New York for a long, I think I was there for 4 days. I should have only been there for 2 days. I missed my son's birthday. I was miserable. And this is right before I got laid off. Mm-hmm. And I saw them building a plaza for retail right outside of the Geico Business Park.
By Crosspoint over
there, right? Crosspoint mm-hmm. Business Park. But Geico was going in. I just heard on the news. So I said, that's a great spot for a liquor store. Because before Miller Brewing Company, I worked for liquor stores for mm-hmm. the people I grew up with in Boston. And so I've learned how to do the retail. I've worked there for probably 15 years all over. They have a bunch of stores in Mass. So I had that background. So when I got off the exit, I wanted to be done with Miller Brewing Company. They wanted to be done with me. I applied for a liquor license over at Crosspoint, and that takes about sometimes up to a year to get approved. So as a few months went by, I finally got laid off from Miller Brewing, so I put everything I had into obtaining this license even quicker because I was unemployed. So finally I got it, opened up my first store over at Crosspoint.
What made you not want to go back home?
I couldn't afford it.
Okay.
I mean,
I love the candidness.
Oh my God. You're looking at, if I wanted to live in a shed, sure.
Yeah, but cost of living's a little higher over there, huh?
A lot higher.
Okay.
Couldn't afford the houses. And the good thing about Miller Brewing, they would transfer you. They would, you know, relocate you, and they help you move and give you the expenses. I
love the honesty of it.
Yeah.
Just come up with a random answer on the spot. It's like, do you want the political answer or do you want the honest answer?
Exactly.
Right? But, okay, so you open up your first location over there. Now you have your second location, which we're in, which is in the Wegmans Plaza on Transit.
Correct.
So how many years until you open up your second location?
Okay, so I waited. I wanted to do it right away. I wasn't making money over at Lexi's. I just expected more out of the business park. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, it's going great. Mm-hmm. Even though with COVID, the business park is only half full, we're still doing better than I ever imagined in my life. But over the years, we've grown that neighborhood, so people know that we're there now. So I finally opened my second store over by Consumer Beverage on Transit, and I was there for 6 years, which was absolutely the best move ever. Mm-hmm. Danny Wegman approached me on my sixth year and asked if I wanted to relocate next to his store. His grocery store, which is a quarter of a mile down the road, which was a no-brainer. I actually thought Wegmans was going to buy my license, force me out, or put a liquor store there, and then I'd be, you know, forced to close because of competition. But no, he wanted me to move over. Again, best decision I ever made in my life.
So you were doing so great there. So like, so why add more variables? Like almost, why fix something if it's not broke?
Because being next to a supermarket in the liquor business is the best place to be.
Okay, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, not next to a beer store, which is a great place to be, but being next to a supermarket is by far the best.
Okay.
And being next to Wegmans, I mean, there's nothing better than being next
Wegmans.
To Wegmans. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. So you open up even, so that's pretty cool. How long you been here now?
So I've been here, we're going on our fifth year.
Fifth year now?
Yeah.
Cool, so how long, now we bring all the timelines together, how long has it been since the very first opening of Lexi's to now?
It's all maybe 15 years now.
Okay.
Yep. Close to 15, 16 years.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
so
you're
officially a Buffalonian, I would say.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, when I moved here, the people here are just so nice. I mean, coming from Boston, it's just rude people. And they didn't give a shit about you.
Okay.
And when I opened my first store, the people were so caring. They really wanted me to succeed. Mm-hmm. They would turn back and say, you know, before they're leaving the store, like, good luck. We wish you good luck.
We're rooting for you.
We're all talking for you. Yeah, yeah, man. And they don't do that in New England.
Yeah.
It's just they really care. And this is such a great place to live. Mm-hmm. It really isn't to grow your kids and
raise
your kids.
Yeah, it's good to hear that because obviously a lot of us, we just know what we know, right? We just know our bubble.
Right, exactly.
And you come from there, so you kind of appreciate it a little bit.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
So now that, you know, our audience knows our story, your story, excuse me, and they know where you've come from and everything that you've experienced so far, let's get to some questions if that's cool.
All right, sure, yeah.
So we always have a perception. I wonder what it looked like to own a liquor store. How if I start one? Because I always thought, especially during COVID, right?
Right.
For me, I love multiple streams of income. I'm a big believer having four or five different streams of income.
Yep.
And I'm like, what would it cost to start a wine store? Is it just you buy all the liquor and then since you get your license and then you just have employees run it for you? Is that basically it? Or am I missing a lot of stuff?
Oh, you're missing a ton.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for those that are, you know what? So, what would it look like?
Okay. The first thing you got to do is get the location. Okay, and then once you get the location, you have to go to the liquor authority and see if they approve it. Now, they'll look at it as in saying, well, is this liquor store going to help the community? Is it going to benefit the community? Is it going to make it easier for...
How do you answer those questions?
Yeah, really weird, bizarre questions. You just...
Like, it's going to make morale go up?
Well, like when I used to go to Wegmans, I wanted to transfer my store from there down the street a quarter of a mile to Wegmans. And one of the things was it's so unsafe to pull out of my plaza that I'm at now. There's accidents every single week.
Okay.
And then secondly, I was going to make it a convenient for customers so they can do one-stop shopping.
Yep.
Go to Wegmans and then go to the liquor wine shop to pick up what, you know, their wine or liquor for the week. That's a convenience. Mm-hmm. And that's what they like to see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And why is that? Do you know an idea, or is it just like almost a political
thing? Well, let's say in Massachusetts, they only issue a certain amount of liquor licenses, and then that's it. Oh. They only issue another one when there's more population. In the state of New York, they'll just put them anywhere.
Okay.
you know, whether.
It's Buffalo.
So with that said, you have to prove to the liquor authority that this is going to be a benefit to the community, this store here.
So what else are we missing out there?
All right, so
I don't want to spend the whole time on this, but I'm just a curious cat.
Okay, so it's pretty interesting. What happened was I applied for the liquor license to move a quarter of a mile down the road, and a big store down the street combated it and fought against it and spent a ton of money to keep me out for reasons I don't know. You know, there's McDonald's and Burger King's and banks all over the place and supermarkets right next to each other. He just didn't want me being next to him. It was only a quarter of a mile down the road. I think the fact was he was afraid of competition. Never had competition before. I was a large store before. Before I was a smaller store, so I wasn't really competing against him. So that sucked. That went on for over a year. I think I got the from the courts. I had to go to court. Well, I was being sued the day before Christmas Eve, my first year there.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. It was in the news, and that's exactly what the reporter said, Merry Christmas. And here's the Grinch that's, you know, doing all this, which was great advertising for me. But, you know, they did it three times. Just kept appealing it, because it got thrown out every single time, which was great. I got a lot of support, so many emails. I was overwhelmed. Humbled.
That kind of goes by the saying of, publicity is such thing as bad publicity, or
right. It was all good publicity for me. It was like Dave and Goliath. It was such a great story. And we got a lot of support from that. And finally, after a year and a lot of money spent on my attorney, it got dismissed for good.
Okay. So after the third time, they're like, we're done with this. Don't even bother.
Exactly. Stop it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it just sucks living on the edge of your seat, you know, and that's it. It was all good.
Now that makes sense. So now that you own, you own two locations, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So like for those that want to go from one, not even just a liquor store, what you talk about in general, like maybe it's in a hardware store, maybe it's, whenever a business wants to go to two locations, what do you think is something they should know, or maybe something that you kind of wish you knew or would have told yourself going from one to two locations?
Okay, it's so much easier because you've been through the experience. You know what to expect the first time. And the first time, it was very difficult. Both of these stores, new builds. There was nothing, like I wasn't taking over an existing business, which, you know the customer count when you take over the existing business. Yeah, and you feel like you can only do better. And but with starting from zero, that's the most difficult thing right there.
So would you actually almost recommend starting over a book of business, or would you recommend starting over? I know you have no regrets because obviously you're doing well, but what would you suggest for others?
For others, take over an existing business.
Okay.
So you see the numbers ahead of time, so you're not just guessing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's tough. There's no question. But I had a dream. I knew it would work. If I put all my effort into it, there's no way I could fail.
Okay. So knowing what you know now, obviously 15, 16 years later, you know, what is, you know, obviously we're not talking about regrets because that's not where we're going here. We're more of like, what would you do if you did differently? And the point of this is for our audience is to take a next step in their own business. So maybe they could, we always love to learn from our mistakes, or we hate learning from our mistakes, but we rather learn from somebody else's as well. So maybe something, what would you suggest?
Learn the finances. So when I said years ago, I worked in my friend's liquor stores growing up, I did everything from soup to nuts except for the bills. I had no idea how much electricity was. Workman's comp, holy crap.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
Especially in New York.
Especially in New York, which is I showed my bill to my old employer, and he's like, this is ridiculous. I think I pay more money than two of his stores combined.
Yeah.
And they're huge stores. Yeah. So that was, wow. You know, even merchant services fees. Yeah. You don't realize at the end of the month you're paying $9,000-$10,000.
Are you talking credit card processing?
Credit card processing, yeah. I mean, that's a huge business. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, 2.5%, 3%, that's fine. But no. Oh yeah, every 0.5% is a huge difference.
Now we understand why some people just do cash, right?
Exactly. Or you know, geez, some people want to pay their employees off the books. I get it. I mean, I would never do such a thing, and you can. It's just not worth it. But the money you pay, you just don't expect those things.
Yeah, I totally agree. Is there anything else before I go to the next question, just so I'm not cutting you off?
I think finances is the most important thing. Know your finances. Know what things cost. And then always budget for more, because you always have those unexpected costs, like lawyer fees that they spent $16,000 on.
There's always the blimp there. So one thing that we have written down here is that, you know, having good employees is a huge thing.
Oh gosh.
So what made you kind of, I mean, it's not that this is like this huge revolutionary thing here, but I totally agree with it when I saw that. I'm like, oh, totally. So what's your side of story?
So with mine is I called my old boss and, you know, I asked him for advice, and he just, first, I was scared shit. I didn't want to do this. I'm like, I'm scared. I always have a reason not to. And he says, no, you'll always have a reason. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Because you always have a reason not to. Mm-hmm. So just do it. So I finally did it. And when I said, okay, I'm doing it, he said, the next thing you have to do is hire good employees. Mm-hmm. Pass on anyone that you're unsure of. Just wait it out, work the extra hours to cover those shifts, just hire someone that you trust, mm-hmm. and they're good people. And I think what that said is you want to surround yourself with good people and smart people, smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And I would say half my staff is smarter than me. Mm-hmm. They're just good, good people. And I've been so lucky with going through COVID, I never needed to hire anyone. I just had so many people. And then the employees' friends, if I have a good employee and he or she has friends, I know they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. So I try to hire within.
Are you overwhelmed with the endless lists of marketing tasks that face your business? You know your marketing needs to be done and done well, but you don't have the time or resources to do it on your own. That's where Allison Kelly Design can help. Allison Kelly Design is a full-scale marketing agency that helps you build a brand that speaks to your value. We offer everything your business needs to hit the ground running and maximize your revenue, including brand development services, graphic and web design, search engine optimization, Google Ads management, email marketing, and social media content creation and management. Book a free discovery call at AllysonKelly.com or call us at 716-249-0993. Allison Kelly Design. Build a brand that speaks to your value.
Okay. I was going to actually give you the next question. Like, how do you find good employees? Or
Is
there like a little trick of the thing you've learned?
You go to Craigslist and ignore all of them. I hate to say it, but I don't know if I've ever had anyone that I've hired from Craigslist that I liked.
Okay.
So I will work extra hours just to cover those shifts if I don't have anyone to work. I just won't rush into hiring someone. Mm-hmm. And God bless them, man. They worked their butts off through COVID. And they never called in sick. Mm-hmm. You know, and I even told them, hey, if you're scared, if you're not feeling well, don't come in. Don't worry, I'll pay you. Mm-hmm. Please, no pressure. And not one person did that.
No, that's so good. So let me stop you there for a second. So back to our audience here for a second. What did Lewis say that really spoke to you about employee retention? Or what is another way to rephrase it? What is another way that you can make sure that you're taking care of your employees? Because we know by now, I mean, I hear every single day, it's so hard to find good employees. It's so hard to find good employees. So what are you doing to retain the ones that you do have that are great? What are you making going out of your way to make sure they feel special or taken care of? Are we pushing them to the limit? What are something that you can do that, what's the next step you can basically take in your business to make sure that you're keeping the people that are good and they're hard to come by?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. You know, I'm glad you asked them this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just money either. It's give them ownership. I think that's my biggest thing is I let them do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And if they think this is the right thing to do, go ahead, do it. If it doesn't work, no worries. Mm-hmm. And I'm blunt with them. I'll tell you, not a good idea.
So you give them permission to fail almost.
I do. Yeah. I do.
So I have to ask this question, but are you not a control freak? Because I feel like most of us business owners, we're complete control freaks.
Right. I was when I first started the business, and I just learned it doesn't matter. Am I going to make that much more money if I do it my way or if I let them do it their way?
Right.
You're not going to. Let them do it, and they get better at it.
You know, since we're on the topic of that, what do you think is – can you give us a story? I know I'm totally putting you on the spot here, so sorry if you have to think about this one here, but – What is one thing that you're like, I don't think that's going to work, but an employee came up with it and it's just like, wow, that actually worked, or maybe blew it out of the park.
You just hit, I can't believe we didn't discuss this ahead of time. This is like the best question you could have asked me.
Okay.
Governor Cuomo goes on the radio and says, all stores are going to be closed down. Only essential stores will be open. And there's no more congregating in stores, blah, blah, blah. We had two wine tastings booked, private wine tastings in a wine tasting room back here. And I had to cancel them. So I'm like, shit. Oh, my God. I had like 220 wine tastings in a row, 2 days in a row. I need to cancel them. These are big wine tastings that we had scheduled. So one of my employees, she heard me say this. She says, why don't you just do a virtual tasting? What? Yeah, go through Zoom. Super easy. No, we're good. Right, cause right now, we were so busy. It's like Christmas Eve all over again because people thought liquor stores were going to be closed, which we weren't thinking. Exactly. Yeah. All hell's breaking loose. And I said, no, we're good. Mm-hmm. She goes, no. You should really, really do that. I go, I don't know what the hell Zoom is, let alone this. I'm just too busy. I can't do it. She goes, I'll do it. So she took it over after I said no like five times. Uh-huh. We did our first Zoom meeting with our customers.
Yeah.
And we put it out there, who wants to do a wine tasting through Zoom.
They just picked the stuff up in the store beforehand?
Yeah, or okay. we would deliver it to them.
Okay, very cool.
Which was even better. They didn't have to leave their house. Yeah. And again, me still thinking this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. But I'm allowing my employees to do this.
Yeah.
Let them fail on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By far the best thing we have ever done.
Yeah.
The first week was 25 people,
mm-hmm.
and then 30, and I think 40 people.
Yeah.
Every week, it's getting more and more and more. At 1 week, I think we had to cap it off at 180 people.
Holy cow.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And we had to deliver, I think, 90 packages or 80-something packages because people didn't, you know.
Yeah, they kind of wanted to get out of the house maybe a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
It was out of my – it was – I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And we're still doing them to this day.
That's so cool.
Yeah, more so with the bigger companies. Mm-hmm. Like Ingram Micro will call us and say, hey, we want to do a virtual wine tasting.
Wow.
And it's the best thing we've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story.
And I had nothing to do with it.
So. Which is even better.
Which is even better. Exactly.
Even better. No, that's so cool. And I don't think I can even add anything to that. So believe it or not, we're at 21 and a half minutes so far.
Yikes.
So
okay.
I do want to talk a little bit about marketing. You know, mm-hmm. now, even though we're just not a marketing company, this is a wine and liquor store. What is something, any tips you have for, like, obviously this is a brick and mortar store.
Yes.
I'm not sure, most people come in versus buying online. So for brick and mortar stores, do you have any type of marketing ideas, things that have worked, or maybe that we can help other people here locally?
Okay. Going to the newspaper, waste some money. I think radio, waste of money, unless you have a ton of money that you can just keep spending.
Okay.
I think more so is helping the community and giving back to the community, because that is what spreads the word, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of fundraisers, these virtual wine seminars that we've been doing. We've done a lot for these like baseball teams, these Lou Gehrig baseball teams in the neighborhoods, or just any club, gymnastics team, high school teams. We're doing these fundraisers and we give money back. So whatever we make, we give a percentage back. We give 10% of all our sales back to either the school or the club or the baseball team, softball teams. Yeah, huge money maker for these organizations. They do nothing. We do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best advertising we do. The social media on, Twitter, and I don't even know any of this. I don't do this. I can't do it. Facebook.
We can only do so much.
The kid, I allow my kids to do it here, my employees, I should say. And they're so much better at it than I could ever be.
Yeah.
And they're just so creative. And that, my advertising has went way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making a lot more money.
To start those relationships, did you more reach out to them? Did they come to you? Or maybe a little bit of
Oh, no, there? That's just us spreading the word, like, let's say on Facebook.
Well, I'm sorry. I should clarify. I meant for, like, getting involved in the community. Like, let's say there's sports teams.
We'll reach out to them.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know. They don't, I never thought of that. We're just doing meat raffles, blah, blah, blah. This is more creative, and people like it, and it's fun. Everyone loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as we keep the kids out of it, you know?
Yeah, of course. We're not giving them,
Yeah, but we reach out to them, and the fact that I can give back to the team, give them money to play their sports, they all spread the word. They'll talk to each other. They talk to their neighbors. Oh, this is what Addie's and Lexi's did. It's just great for the community. And the fact that they kept me in business all these years, I want to give back to them. And it's a great way of doing it.
No, that's really good. And one thing I also want to say is that, like, for, I guess I'll just ask this way versus trying to think of a clever way to say it. What do you think is one or two things someone has to have or ingrained in them, or maybe it's a characteristic that you think they need to have to be a business owner in today's world?
Be happy.
Okay.
Be friendly. So even if you have a shitty day, get rid of it when you walk into the store.
Okay.
People don't want to shop at a store when you're miserable and you're angry and you don't want to be there. You're like, it's an inconvenience. Like, oh, why am I here? You got to be happy. You got to love it. You have to, and it's easy when you have the passion and you love coming to work. And it's not work. I love doing this. Mm-hmm. I work my ass off, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's mine, yes, but I just love the people here. They're nice people. Mm-hmm. You don't get many angry people here, so it makes it easy to be happy.
Yeah.
And when you're happy, I think it's just a great way of doing business.
No, I love that. So that being said, what's next for you? I know things are going great for you. Is there anything on the horizon that maybe you want to talk about, or maybe something that's just next for you that you're excited about?
I want to work less. Mm-hmm. I've been working my ass off all these years, and my oldest son, he loves it. He's trying to be a sommelier. He's taking the classes, and he's learning, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the business has changed so much in the last couple of years that I'm getting outdated. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing things old school.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see my younger employees doing things differently and more economically and more efficiently.
Yeah.
And they're like, Dad, why are you doing it this way? Why are you doing it that way? That's stupid.
Is that paper and pen?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, why are you writing a note that way? Yeah, it's just little things. Mm-hmm. For instance, this Zoom thing, it's just brought us to the next level.
Well, I think it's just so smart because what we're doing is a lot of times we're just getting out of our own way. Mm. And we're letting people that are just, I don't want to say it's necessarily better. It's just that they're more in the know. And they're like, it's just so good to be open-minded because I see so many business owners be closed-minded. Well, we're doing it for 30 years, what we're doing. Yeah, that's great. But like, it doesn't mean it's great for the next 30.
Exactly.
Or the 30 days or 30 months or whatever you want to call it. So I think you're so smart. So again, back to the audience real quick is what do you think is something that you need to get out of your own way for? Maybe something that someone that is really just, again, their your weakness is their strength and something that you can get out of your own way to help your business grow or just be more efficient, like Lewis said. And just, I think that's smart advice for you. So that being said, Lewis, we're basically out of time here. For those that just love your story, maybe they want to be a part of your wine club, maybe they want the wine tastings, or maybe they just want to ask you an entrepreneurial question that they're like, oh, I wish Dave would ask this. Mm-hmm. What is the best way that people can contact? Is it an email, a cell, whatever you feel comfortable? Everyone's done it any different ways.
Just email me. Okay. I look at it every single day. So addieswine@gmail.com. That's ADDYS, addieswine. WYNE@gmail.com. It's named after my daughter.
Yeah. And then Lexi's your other daughter, correct?
Lexi's my older daughter, yep.
Older daughter, yeah. I remember when we first met, which was a couple years ago. It's funny how we've come full circle.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for hosting our first members-only event, which we're doing a wine limo tour. We're having food catered. We're going to do wine tasting in this. It's a pretty big room back here.
Yeah,
what's the most you've had in this room?
We've had 35 people back here.
Yeah, it's not a closet. Let's put it that way. So, anyways, thanks for giving us your time. I know you're very, very
busy.
My
pleasure. No, man, this is awesome. This is so much fun. Thank you.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.